Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. We are trying to get across to Lusaka. The connection is there, but there seems to be a lot of noise between us and Lusaka, so we are trying to rectify that. Nathan, are you there?
Yes. Good morning.
Yes, Nathan, please take over. Yes, take over as we try to work out with Lusaka here.
Okay, good. Excellent. Everybody, good morning. Welcome to this special program. Roger's going to be dealing with what just happened in Zambia, where the Justice Minister, apparently, who is also the the party secretary general of the Patriotic Front was dismissed. So we're going to be dealing with that this morning. Dr. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Doing good, sir. It's good to have you on the show as always.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Mrs. Lucas, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. How are you?
How is it St. Louis?
Kansas City.
Kansas City. Why do we always make that mistake?
You know, and the thing is, they're 4 hours apart. Kansas City is on the west border of Missouri. And St.
Mm-hmm.
Louis, the east border of Missouri. In between, we have nothing but farms. It's rural area. And then you have
okay.
two cities. But Kansas City is fine. We are bracing ourselves for tornado season as we go into the fall.
Okay. That is going to be fine. It will be fine. Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Munsanje, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. How come the program started late today?
A lot of technical issues are happening in the background.
I was up at 7 today.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we had a little small hitch. I know you are looking forward to this Winter Kalimba discussion.
That's right.
Okay, still in Pennsylvania, Daniel Chisewe, good morning.
Good morning, Wakatunga. It's nice to hear your voice again. Where have you been?
I'm here. How have you been yourself?
All right.
Mm.
You've been to Lancaster. You know, Lancaster is like a city, like a farm. You know, I'm just watching people harvesting corn right now. So.
Yeah, I still have those images when I came there for that convention that was held there. It's good
yes.
to visit a place so that you have a picture, and I'm looking forward to going to the Carolinas to meet up with Dr. Patrick and get a picture of the environment where we talked to him from. And apparently, the dismissal of Mr. Winter Kalimba has brought a lot of unprecedented response in Zambia. I don't know how much you followed this, but you said, well, let me start with you. What are your thoughts on this? I don't know. How did you get the news first?
Dr. Munsanje texted me, and because lately I've been having issues with, I get my news from Zambia Post. And
yes.
These days I can't access it. I don't know why. So when he told me, I was real shocked. And, you know, sometimes I read about Winter Kalimba, and I don't know of him. So for me, it's very difficult to understand Zambian politics sometimes, you know. So I'm just...
how is it difficult?
Okay,
how is it
okay
difficult?
Nathan, thank you. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Nathan.
Before we
get our scheduled guest, but someone
yes.
on very, very short notice within 5 minutes, our good friend Lucky Mulusa has agreed to talk with us. Honorable Mulusa, how are you? Let me say how are you to you this morning.
I'm very fine, thanks. Just from this campaign.
Yes, yes, I know. Are you in Solwezi right now?
Yes, I'm in the mix of things. Actually, Winter Kalimba came to Solwezi Central to come and finish me off, come and destroy me completely.
Yes.
And instead, he went back destroyed himself. The spirit of confusion from our prayers visited his camp.
Yes, yes, yes.
And rain havoc.
I was talking to...
The man,
go ahead.
Yeah, the man was actually talking strategy on how to deal with this officer.
Uh-huh.
When he was shown a message to say, please, it might be advisable for you to suspend this meeting
uh-huh.
and deal with the latest situation, he read the message. After reading the message, the first thing he did was to take off his shoes. He wasn't even wearing socks. He took off his shoes and he started sweating from the feet.
Yeah.
And my team had to temporarily suspend games as we needed to celebrate. So we did a few whiskeys in the Amarulas, and I mean, it's been jubilation. And in Lusaka, the jubilation is similar to what we had when Zambia won the Africa Cup.
Yes, I hear, yes.
Yes, the man was so hated that the only section of society which is sympathetic to him is the post in the paper.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, my brother was talking to my wife yesterday. I was describing like as if I was in Solwezi. I said this man came to Solwezi with a plane, but he went on foot back to Lusaka. Was that description okay?
Well, it might have been a figure of speech. Basically, he came with pomp, the kind of, he flew in here, but then the kind of motor he had was similar to what the vice president had.
Mm.
And so when he was dropped, the officers looked in to remove every semblance of importance, and it became a commoner. And I'm not too sure. There are two versions. One story is that he went by road. The other version is that he quickly arranged I think a couple of hours before he was fired, there was a flight.
Uh-huh.
Out of Solwezi. They managed to secure a seat and food. That's what I'm being told. There are those of the
people.
Right. But I think what is important to take note about the Kabinda debacle,
yeah,
is that Kabinda never understood politics and what role politics play in society.
Mm, mm, yes.
You know, politics and political parties were interrelated. The political parties are platforms through which politics is played. Now, political parties are mere platforms where people of similar views congregate and share their views, enhance their views,
mm-hmm.
and compete with others through debate. And the group that debates better and convinces society,
yes.
society appoints them as an organized formation that manages the welfare of society. For him, he understood political parties as vehicles for vision. Vehicles to set up personal scores.
Yes.
And he really took the country backwards. You know, when social scientists sit down to do calculations, you realize that Winter Kabinda's role in politics has been extremely costly. He has divided the nation.
Mm.
He has made individuals extremely poor. I'll give you an example. As a result of Winter Kabinda's decision, I have spent and lost close to 2 million kwacha. In the old currency, 2 billion kwacha. Now, when you divide by six,
yes.
you're talking of well over $300,000. You know, $300,000 that I've lost through court cases, lost income, lost opportunities, and buy lessons. Right now, I'm spending and it's extremely costly.
Yes, to the country and to people. Yes.
Now, if I was not made to go through that, what would have happened is that coming from South Africa, I would have done some investments here. I would have enhanced myself, enhanced my family and society. I would have created employment. But I haven't been able to do any of those things. And the three of my sons have actually dropped out of school. One of them can't attend college. My three girls have graduated, they've graduated and they're working in South Africa. But the rest that were in high school some have dropped out and now can't go to college. And that's because the consequence of this is that it discourages professionals such as yourself
mm-hmm.
to come back and participate in local politics. Because you don't want to go through this kind of thing. And when you professionals fail to come back, what happens is that we end up literally occupying the political sphere.
Yes.
Now, in the three arms of government, we've got the judiciary, where you can't, not anybody can become a judge. You have to be a lawyer, and a lawyer who has made it practice. In the executive, there is the part which is the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy has got professionals.
Mm.
The other part has got politicians. In the legislature, equivalent of judges in the legislature are the members of parliament. Now, having ill-qualified members of parliament, because the constitution does not give us any opportunity to promote competence in amongst members of parliament,
yes.
because all you need to do is to know how to read and write. Now, competence comes in when people like you and I decide to come and help society. But if you and I are treated the way I've been treated, then you shun away from politics because you've got an alternative in terms of sustenance,
mm-hmm.
meaning that the political sphere in the executive and in the legislature introduces the incompetence in the welfare of society. And the nation goes nowhere because the political sphere is actually the mover and shaker of what happens in society.
Yes.
So it's a very, very unfortunate situation. And all this is as a consequence of having people with misplaced visions such as Winter Kabimba. But again, this teaches us a lesson.
Yes.
This teaches us a lesson that we shouldn't ignore. In fact, we should celebrate the PF stay in power. We should celebrate it because it's a rude reminder of gaps in our systems, of weaknesses in our laws, lacunas in our constitution. Because what the PF has done, it has gone in to study weaknesses and exploited those weaknesses. You know,
yes.
So we need to sit back and say what is it that what productive outcomes can we create out of PF's stay in power?
Mm.
We need to relook at our constitution. Even the draft right now, it does not address all the lacunas that the PF has. The weaknesses in our three arms of government, the legislature, judiciary, and the executive. Because the PF has actually shown us that it is possible for the executive to implement the other arms of government and its paralysis, where people fail to do anything. You know, when you manipulate as the ruling party, you manipulate in the legislature, you have your man heading parliament, heading National Assembly. In the judiciary, you choose a user-friendly chief executive. And then in the executive, you have the vice president, who is obviously part of the ruling party. So basically, you have paralyzed the whole essence of having separation of power through the three arms of government.
Yes.
We need to study that and say,
yes.
What is it that we need to do in order to create better governance for ourselves going forward? But let me pause there. Another line of discussion we wanted to take.
Yes.
I'm sorry to have taken advantage I'm on the platform campaigning.
No, you have offloaded quite a bit actually we needed to find out, and probably some of the things I was not even going to ask. But yes, the paralysis of the three branches of government, that has been very, very scary. It is good to hear Mukolwe in Kaonde. What do we say, my brother in Kaonde, making noise in the background? Skombwe.
Oh, Skombwe.
Skombwe, good. It is good to hear that sound. Now, I've got four items I need to cover in 10 minutes before all the people who are here in 10 minutes are going to be asking you a question. Talk to us about what you have just started, Honorable Mlusa, about Kabimba and the erosion of the rule of law. How has it been a damaging factor in the judiciary itself, just the judiciary?
Well, you see, in the judiciary, first of all, the Constitution has the weakest because it allows the president to appoint the Chief Justice.
Mm.
Now, in a situation where there's a vacancy in the office of the Chief Justice, or there's a pending vacancy, both for the Vice President, for the Deputy Chief Justice and the Chief Justice, then you have a situation where all the Supreme Court judges start looking forward to being appointed into those positions. And if the ruling party demonstrates an insatiable appetite to only reward those that are doing them favors, then you have a situation where favoring the ruling party. And that's exactly what we saw. And unfortunately, the law is very, very straightforward. And the policies and procedures in terms of administration of the jurisprudence in any jurisdiction is well-defined. And if you pass any judgment which is wrong, it comes out blatantly. I'll give you an example. Just also, let me just ask these guys to tone down on the music outside. I'm at the campaign center. Just hold on. Hello. But we are interacting with radio stations. Hello?
Okay, go ahead, my brother. Actually, we are not hearing it, but I'm sure it is disturbing you.
Yes. So if you look at my... If you look at my case, the High Court judge concluded that I had not done anything wrong by making an offering on a Sunday in church during campaigns.
Mm.
And when it went to the Supreme Court said that was an act of illegality because it was not... It was not my place of usual worship. That's what a lot of.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So they said it was not my place of usual worship. So. And that was an act of illegality, and under, I think, must be Section 7 or 91 of the Electoral Code of Conduct, they notified by speech. But then, when you go back in time, you find that the same Supreme Court held, in the case of Commission Jeunesse, the same Supreme Court held that it is not enough to identify an act of illegality in an election. You need to go further and demonstrate that such act of illegality prevented the majority of voters from voting for a candidate of their choice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I made an offering of 1,000 kwacha, which is about $110.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about $110. Offering that I made. It was a very small offering. I could have done more. Now, on that particular Sunday, 802 people congregated in that church. And out of that 800, 503 people were children, and about 50 were visitors. So we just had around 200 people who could potentially vote. And the voter turnout was 49%. So we had 99 people voting. And out of those 99 people, they were not a homogeneous group. They were heterogeneous. They were from various groupings. You know, they were from various political groupings.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the polling station where those people voted from, I actually lost the election. I came out fed. Now, if offering of $110 had influenced 99 people to vote, such an act prevented 54,000 voters from voting for a candidate of their choice. And in any case, the difference between myself and the nearest guy was about 2,000 votes. So even if those 99 people had voted 10 times for my nearest rival, he would not still have caught up with me. So you realize that the Supreme Court was wrong in this case.
Yes.
Even right now, when they notified my seat, the Chief Justice was being represented by Bonaventure Mtale. And Bonaventure Mtale was also representing the petitioner. And she received the submission from her own lawyer on behalf of the petitioner. And I introduced the issue of bias in this case. And I gave several citations such as the Pinochet case in London, where the issue of bias made the House of Lords to revisit their own decision. Up to now, February, my matter has not even made the court list. But the matter involving the Zambezi West candidate, which was made 2 weeks ago, and then last week, the High Court dismissed the matter. She appealed to the Supreme Court, and it has made the court list. It has made the court list. It's been court listed for next week. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And yet, the Supreme Court rules on a first in, first out basis. So you realize that we have a Supreme Court which is compromised, and that compromise is coming as a result of two things. The first thing is that there are two pending positions in the Supreme Court. That is the acting Chief Justice, the Chief Justice, and the Deputy Chief Justice. None of them is substantive. The other challenge is that I don't think that the best of our lawyers become judges, because the way you become a judge in Zambia is actually by lobbying and applying to become one.
Mm.
And so you find very strange names that you never heard in practice that they had left a mark. So you won't hear Sakuya Skota becoming a judge. You won't hear Professor Mvunga becoming a judge. Why? Because they are so successful in private practice. Now, it is those lawyers who are struggling or who have just been drafting statutes at the Ministry of Justice, who went about to reach 55 years retirement, now realize they want a better, secure future. So these are the people that now apply and lobby to become judges. So our judges may not be the best competent legal brains. So when you look at the Zambian decided cases, you find that they cite cases that were decided in London, in the U.S., in India, in Uganda, in Kenya, in Zimbabwe, But then you visit these other jurisdictions and find out if they cite any Zambian cases. You'll be shocked to learn that the only cases that are cited are the judgments under the leadership of Judge Matthew Zingulube. Those are the only judgments that other jurisdictions cite. Not the recent judgments. They are confined to their own facts and packed on the shelves, not to be cited by anybody because they are a product of incompetence.
There is another question here which is, I think, being asked on Facebook a lot. Who has fired Winter Kabimba? Bredna Changara was supposed to be here, my brother, in this show. He's been in court trying to constitute a medical board to find if our president is functioning. Who has fired Winter Kabimba? Maybe you can help us from your angle there.
The answer is very simple. He who left Winter Kabimba as acting president is the one who has fired Winter Kabimba. Remember that those who kill by the sword,
yes,
shall die by the sword.
Yes.
So if Winter Kabimba manipulated his appointment as acting president, then fate has manipulated Winter Kabimba's dismissal.
I like that.
It's very simple. And Winter will be the last person to ask. We were, in fact, I was the first one to hold a press conference and questioned Winter Kabimba's legality. The status of acting as president. As the president, I questioned it, and there was so much talk about it, and there were so many questions about it. You understand? And Winter Kabimba said he was duly appointed. So for me, I don't even want to waste my time debating on who fired Winter Kabimba. He who appointed Winter Kabimba as acting president fired Winter Kabimba.
Yes. Because we all doubted that appointment. I'm going to go to the phone lines, my brother. I don't have much time. I wish we had, but there is a lot of interest, so we want to hear from others. We go to North Carolina. Dr. Patrick, we have Honorable Lucky Mulusa, who is one of the, I don't know, sort of Winter Kabimba, but now we are celebrating with him. Dr. Patrick.
Yes, yes. I would just like to ask about a couple of chess pieces that were moved back in November 2013, and to see if it has any relevance today in Justice Minister Winter Kabimba's replacement or removal. I mentioned earlier in a prior program that President Sata had delegated PF Secretary General and Justice Minister Winter Kabimba to represent him at the joint summit of SADC, an international conference on the Great Lakes region held in Johannesburg in South Africa in November 2013. Around the same time, Mulinga Sata, that's President Michael Sata's son, who was currently Lusaka's deputy mayor, was appointed interim ruling party PF chairman of Lusaka District. At the same time, the donors that were funding the referendum on the Zambia Constitution, those donors said they would not fund the referendum on the Zambia Constitution. So those three pieces moving, I'm thinking that whether or not they were placed in a particular position to be advantageous to Winter Kabimba presently or up to present, or they were being moved in order to make some changes. Maybe the donors wanted to make some changes. They weren't in a position to support the referendum in which Winter Kabimba wanted at that time, and maybe the PF at that time being appointed chairman at Lusaka, maybe those currents had impacted on what happened now in 2014. And I wanted to ask that question. Did these balancing pieces have any impact on what's happening today?
Wow, high impact question. yeah, obviously, there have been behind the scenes maneuvers. Some of them genuine within particular groupings, others merely being used as the steps to get to where they wanted to do. The favor that appeared to be going to Sata's son were maneuvers to keep Sata on the side of the cartel, to make Sata believe that the cartel meant well in terms of taking his interest. Of course, Mulenga Sata does not have any political clout at all. nothing at all. He's not anywhere close to his father. He actually doesn't carry any characteristics of his father. So the grouping was trying to use him so that when they achieved whatever they wanted to achieve, it was going to be very easy for them to get rid of him, because at the end of the day, it's Winter Kamimba they wanted to make a president. And Sata was just being used to try and entice the old man to play along with their scheme. The sending of Winter Kamimba to various important engagements obviously were in line with his seniority and also just fitting in well with the larger scope for Winter Kamimba to get as much exposure as possible, to receive as much international acceptance and local acceptance at the end of the day. But then they must have really gone abroad. The president has taken a rest, for a while, under obviously some comprehensive medical interventions. And I think he has had time to reflect over what happened, especially the manner in which Winter Kamimba took over as the president and the way he conducted himself. The presidency can be very sensitive to the way those that they appoint as in acting positions or those that force themselves into acting status, behave. And Winter behaved like the president was never going to come back at all. He took privileges that are just the presence of a sitting president. He even had a bigger motorcade and attached so much higher importance to the acting status than what President Sata was enjoying. And obviously when the president came back and
sorry my brother.
Yeah.
It is funny here tonight and we are having a good time at the expense of Mr. Kamimba. Please, I don't know if it's possible for you just to take about a minute or so. People are bombarding me. Some of them, they just want to tangle my neck because they want to say something. Out of Boston comes a question from our good friend, and he's asking, how is winter firing going to improve leadership issues in Zambia?
Well, obviously, firing of winter coming, there are two sides of the coin. We need to wait and see how Winter Kamimba will react to dismissal.
Yes.
His reaction might actually destroy the PF. Because in the PF, allegiance to each other is driven by secrets they hold against each other. And that's why it's been very difficult for anyone to remove Winter Kamimba until now, when people just said enough was enough. Now, depending on how destructive Winter Kamimba will be, the PF might suffer quite a lot of collateral damage. If Winter Kamimba does not cause that damage, then it will make the PF very attractive, to those people who had decided to have nothing to do with the PF at all.
Yes.
It will become more attractive. And Edgar Lungu, who has taken over as the Secretary General, is a man of very, very sober character. I'm not talking about the inability to take to the drink. But I'm talking about the city. He's not as as ambitious and as unreasonable as Winter Kamimba is.
Mm-hmm.
He's the fellow who embraces everybody.
Mm.
In terms of improving leadership in the country, yes, it will be improvement in the leadership will be there. Number one, there's a lot of relief. Including, I'll just give you an example. When Winter Kamimba came to this province and to my constituency, specifically to destroy me, he came with several busloads of thugs who were going to be harassing us, attacking us, and doing all sorts of things. When he was fired, he left with those thugs. So peace that was threatened is once again in this constituency.
Mm.
It means that we will continue campaigning peacefully, and I'm likely to get back my seat and get back in Parliament. And probably this is the end of legal issues. So if Winter Kalimba was around, I can assure you, he would have continued using the courts of law to harass me in Parliament again. Now, that that will apply to a lot of people.
Mm.
We are likely to see the dropping of cases against RRB. Because this was a personal vendetta driven by Fred Mende through Mpendo Nchito and Winter Kalimba. And the crumbling of the cartel will mean that some of their schemes may have to be gotten rid of. And it would be very easy to have RRB cases dropped. Because all that the president might do is appoint Mpendo Nchito as the High Court judge and get a different director of public prosecutions who may be able to discontinue cases because they were politically motivated.
Mm, mm.
So we're going to see Zambians getting back together once again and several of us being part of Zambia, as being Zambians than we felt in the past. Where a Zambian was, to be a Zambian was a preserve of CF members only. So really we're going to see a lot of, peace and stability within our political sphere.
Let me go to New York, peace and stability. That is the going of Winter Kalimba, peace. The cartel, my brother, was really scaring me. New York, Kratos, please, 30 seconds or one minute if you can. Then I have Titus Dr. Musanje coming in. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Roger. My question to Mr. Musa is that we from the diaspora see that, the confusion is in all the parties. We see confusion in UPND, we see it in MMD, we see it in the PF, What we see is just pure greed and selfishness on part of all the politicians that are in our country.
Peter, can you ask your question?
Yes, please. Mr. Mulusa, what assurance do we have that people will learn lessons from Mr. Winter Kalimba's firing out of his arrogance and greed?
Good question.
Well, there's a current unity that has suddenly descended upon Zambia with the fine theme of celebration and hatred against the Winter Kalimba. And that cuts across in the ruling party, in the opposition parties, because the scheme of bringing us to where we are today was hatched by Winter Kalimba and his boss, Fred Mende, and Mpendo Nchito was one of the implementers. But now that those people have terribly been weakened, we will see improvements in everything that they destroyed or attempted to destroy. I can't remember the time, maybe only the time that Kaunda was removed, when Zambians united against one man, in an instant. That's exactly what is in Zambia today. People started reorganizing themselves to try and run away from this Winter Kalimba horde on the state of our nation. For instance, here in Soweto Central, I have three-quarters of the PF campaigning for me. PF leaders, local leaders here, call me in the night to go and address PF members And they tell me they do not agree with what Winter Kamimba is doing and has done to me. And they feel that I don't deserve to be replaced as Member of Parliament or so, and that I haven't failed. Now, if you have members of the ruling party actually decampaigning that, it means that people started reorganizing themselves to have some semblance of sanity, you know, doing things as they are supposed to be done according to, you know, what political governance means. So I want to believe that the unity people show is the assurance that we have a better future without Winter Kamimba.
Let's go to Texas. My cousin from Kaoma, Namunji.
Good morning.
Good morning. Please go ahead with your question.
Sure. I'm sorry, I came right on the radio, so I don't know whether I missed the other part, the beginning of the part. So I may ask the question which has already been discussed. I don't know. My question is, Winter, we haven't had any...
Can you take your phone out of the speakerphone? That way we can
hear
you.
Okay, hold on. Came late on the radio, so I don't know whether I've missed the part, so maybe I'll ask the question which has already been discussed. I don't know. My question is, we haven't heard from Winter Kamimba since ever he has been relieved from his duties. So considering the fact that SATA trusted Winter Kamimba so much, I'm not too sure. I don't know. My question is, has SATA fired Winter Kamimba because of the pressure from the international community, or he's convinced that he needed to relieve him? Is it at the interest of the Zambian community or the international donors, or SATA has just done this for his own, to protect his presidency?
Okay, good question.
Yeah, this is a culmination of several misdemeanors on the part of Winter Kamimba. There are a lot of issues that have been raised about Winter Kamimba and the manner in which he has been managing his ambitions to become the next president. And obviously those issues were building up, but I want to believe that the trigger event is the leaking of confidential correspondence between the Minister of Finance and the president, showing that these people will stop at nothing to eliminate anybody they see as a threat in their scheme to ascend to power after Mr. Sata's departure. You realize that there's been runoff between the Post newspaper and Mr. Chikwanda. That has resulted into a discovery of a confidential letter having been leaked. And obviously, the people that leaked that letter were Winter Kamimba and George Taylor himself. So we are likely to see the dismissal of Taylor. In fact, we are likely to see the arrest, probably Winter Kamimba, very shortly. Now, I want to believe that we may actually witness some killings. We may witness some elimination. And I feel for Winter Kamimba, I wonder whether he will survive the next 1 or 2 months, because he's very passive. And obviously, he knows a lot about the president. And the president doesn't angry to people who want to blackmail him. I see Winter Kamimba's life being in danger.
That is
and I see a few arrests.
Yes.
I see a few arrests
right here on the BTR. We may see George Taylor go, and this is the end of the cartel. Titus, very, very quickly, and then I go to Nathan in Texas. Titus.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Honorable Mulusa. Two things on this issue of...
I want
to bring us to another area where, one, I'm looking at the area where the cartel itself, Tembo Nchito, Winter Kamimba, and Fred Membe. I don't know if there's anybody else within that. But this group...
There is Matani.
You want to ask it for me? Can you give me time, please? If you're delayed with other people, please. My question
you are breaking. Could you start your question again?
Okay. My question is that I see a grouping which is well represented in tribal lines. What do you think about this cartel? Even if it loses its power, I think it still has... Mutembo is a lawyer. Fred Membe is a lousy person. Winter Kabimba is a soli. There's still a group which is... And Rajan is an Indian person. So they're still getting a little bit of a cloud that they have representation tribal-wise. And on the other side, on the other side, there's also this issue of Winter Kabimba knowing more, like you said, even his life is, it could be in danger. Knowing more from the Satas, some of us that are looking, you had to lose the favoritism. Who is the Bemba? I don't know the divisions, you guys from the north.
Satas, I may have to cut you. I may have to cut you.
Go ahead.
Let Honorable Mulusa respond. Go ahead, Honorable Mulusa.
Well, the diversity in the tribe representation of the cartel doesn't make sense where the unifying theme of their unity is access to state power and state resources to enrich themselves. If it was for the good of society's welfare, then it would have a meaning. But now it doesn't have a meaning at all. I mean, if you look at Mtembonchito has actually been trading in justice. He has been selling justice. $2 million. Matani has two cases, one of which has been found with a case to answer and has been put on his defense. And Mutembochito decides to discontinue it. And he decides to discontinue another case where he could potentially, Matani could be potentially convicted. So, and then Matani in turn instructs his lawyers to discontinue claiming the $4.2 million. Now, that is done so bluntly and openly without any shame at all. We've had Fred Membe suddenly growing in terms of his business. Since PF came into power, we've seen trucks, selling maize, selling copper to all this day. We've seen Winter Kabimba chairs the commission of inquiry to look into possible corruption in the oil procurement. And one of the terms of reference was actually to question the participation of Trafigura. And then at the end of that commission, when they found the gaps, he creates a company to actually be part of the participants in the value chain of procurement of oil. You see, so now you realize that these guys, they haven't come together well represented in tribe to save society. They've done so in order to access state power and effectively control state resources and create opportunities for themselves. The weakness in the cartel is that none of them has a mandate from the people. None of them holds an elected position. All of them, apart from Fred Membe, are appointed. The appointment where depends on the decisions of an individual. So that creates a very, very big weakness. For instance, right now, the Winter Kabimba has been dropped, and that has terribly weakened and shaken the team. You should see the editorials that the Post newspaper has written in the yesterday and today. You see that the guys who actually come out fighting.
Let's go to
their tribal diversity.
It's not there. It's good. It's good to hear. We are going to do a very careful analysis on what has been presented today Maybe after another hour, those who are interested, please, you're going to call in after Nathan's show. But Nathan, please ask your last question, and we are going to wish Honorable Mlusa all the best in his campaign. Nathan.
Thank you, Roger. Mlusa, to the point, no beating about the bush. There is a strong rumor that the anti-Nevers Mumba cartel in MMD and the Winter Kavimba Membe cartel are planning to form a political party. Your response?
You're saying the anti-Nevers Mumba and the anti-Winter Kavimba planning to...
No, and the Winter Kavimba cartel and the Membe. The Winter Kavimba cartel, Membe cartel, and the anti-Nevers Mumba about to form a political party.
Are you sure me and you can sit around the same table and have a productive discussion?
No. We'll help that.
Not at all. But what I know is that the anti-Nevers Mumba, who decided not to have anything to do with Nevers Mumba any longer, has been making maneuvers behind the scenes to form a new political platform to offer an alternative. I'm not part of them because I don't believe that the MMD might die. I believe that the MMD holds values that can be enhanced, and it's a very, very good platform to belong, very, very democratic and mature, and that's why, despite the things that I said and the numbers that I made to try and call for a convention, I still stood on the MMD ticket. In other political parties, I would be history in terms of belonging to that particular political platform.
Okay. My brothers, thank you so much, and we wish you well. Stand on your principles. A lot of things has happened in your life, in your political life, but God has visited Zambia, and you keep looking after our nation. Thank you again, and coming up next, Nathan will be hosting a discussion on insurance, especially we in the diaspora. We have some...
Yeah, but Roger.
Yes, go ahead, Roger. Go ahead, 1 minute.
Yes, look, why don't you do a small contribution, $20 here, $100 there? You send the money, can sit with me, pay the food soldiers, pay for all the provisions.
I'll
you guys, you know, I'm part of you guys, I'm your ambassador. You can't let me be suffering alone like this.
I agree with you.
I'll go back in the diaspora.
Yes, I'll be calling you. I can assure you $100. From Zambia Block Talk Radio, we'll be sending it today, and I'll be making that phone call. And I'm also going to encourage my brothers who listen live every day, not only to be talkers, but people who can do something about it. No, thank you for that, my brother.
Thank you. I'll send you my banking details. Thank you very much, and God bless.
You're welcome. Next is Nathan, and we may have a special discussion on top of this so that we digest everything Honorable Obulusa has said. Please call in Nathan's show, and thank you very much for joining us. Goodbye.
Ciao, bye-bye.